Hello and welcome to How Curious. I'm Rachel Hopkin, and just a couple of seconds of this sound is going to give you a pretty good hint as to what this episode's about. Yes, it's a shopping cart, and it was suggested as a topic for How Curious by a longtime KGOU listener.
I am Martin Osinga. I'm a patent attorney. Sylvan Goldman was a name I grew up with because it's the Sylvan Goldman Blood Bank.
Sylvan Goldman donated a lot of money to the Oklahoma Blood Institute, and for a while his name was synonymous with it.
As I became a patent attorney, I learned more about him, and the story goes that he invented the modern shopping cart.
You thought there'd always been a shopping cart, didn't you? Not until Sylvan N. Goldman invented it, there wasn't.
CBS reporter Charles Kuraut interviewed Sylvan Goldman back in 1977.
Well, I thought if Adam and Eve had a shopping cart, they'd always been in use.
Not at all. And for a long while, there was no need for one, since before cars, people could only buy what they were able to carry home. Alison Atchison is the director of galleries and collections at Science Museum Oklahoma, which has quite a few items in its collection relating to Sylvan Goldman.
He was born in 1898 in Indian Territory. It later became Ardmore. And he served in World War I, came back, he and his brother went off to California. They ran into the first supermarkets over in California. They came back and started to develop supermarkets in the Tulsa area.
Later on, they moved their focus to Oklahoma City and environs. This was during the Great Depression, and Sylvan was constantly looking for ways to increase profits.
He would watch people shop, and he noticed they stopped shopping when they couldn't carry anything more. So he went up to his office one evening, was really thinking about it, and he grabbed a chair and worked with Fred Young, a mechanic in the shop, and they came up with a prototype.
Alison brought out an example of that very first cart, and it didn't look very much like the carts we're used to using today.
I can actually describe what he did. It was a folding chair. He put wheels on the 4 feet and then a basket on the seat, and then he put a platform on the things that kept the legs together, and that held another basket too, so it was a two-layer of baskets.
The walls of Sylvan N. Goldman's office are bright with cartoon tributes to his invention. Tributes to him, really.
Charles Kuraut again, who evidently was not one to stint on blandishments.
The Newton of the A&P, the Edison of the Kmart, the original genius who made possible life as we know it today.
I notice this. It says, shoppers came and saw and said it's a wow. Is that really what happened?
No. That's a big lie.
It was. Although Sylvan Goldman was delighted with his invention, customers proved less than enthusiastic.
No one wanted them. Women said, once my baby's out of the stroller, I don't want to push a cart around anymore. I'm done. Men thought that they were effeminate. Well, Sylvan, he hired models to walk around his stores with the carts. So good-looking people.
Men and women?
Men and women.
Okay.
The book is How the Shopping Cart Explains Global Consumerism.
Its author is American Studies Professor Andrew Warnes, who's based at the University of Leeds.
Before Sylvan Goldman comes along and popularizes the shopping cart, shoppers are basically limited to what they can carry. So the cart, you know, the idea that Goldman invented it, well, carts have been around for centuries, for millennia, before Goldman. But what he realizes is that there's something he can patent and there's something he can popularize that actually takes that weight off of shoppers and allows them to glide through the store and transport things with relative ease to the trunks of their cars.
The rise in automobile use and the increasingly widespread ownership of fridges and freezers were both crucial to the success of the cart, which in turn led to a thriving business in package design.
Suddenly you've got a kind of ability to design the commodity as something that can be quickly grabbed, scooped, dumped in the cart, move on to the next thing. So the kind of proliferation of impulse buys happens. So I do think it's really important in transforming the way we shop.
Back at Science Museum Oklahoma, Alison took me to see a bronze statue of Sylvan Goldman in which he's depicted standing alongside a shopping cart.
So it says, Sylvan N. Goldman, 1898 to 1984, inventor of the shopping cart that changed the world. Oh, and look, there's actually some things in the shopping trolley. So there's a carton, which could be milk, an egg box, a bunch of celery, and cereal. That's so funny. I just thought that somebody had thrown some stuff in there to keep it there. I didn't realize that was a part of the display.
No, it's bronze.
Goldman's family commissioned the Oklahoma sculptor Lena Beth Fraser to create this piece in 1985, the year after Goldman died.
I just think it's interesting that they did choose the nesting one, you know, instead of the prototype one, to be commemorated with him.
Okay, so this is where it gets rather complicated. Sylvan Goldman certainly invented a shopping cart, the one based on the folding chair with two baskets. But although that creation doubled the size of things one can purchase during a single trip, it had drawbacks, not the least of which was that when all set up with baskets in place, it took up a lot of floor space.
That's when Orla Watson got the idea for a nesting shopping cart, which is much more like the ones that you see today. And he applied for the patent for the nesting shopping cart. And Sylvan Goldman interrupted it, and he applied for his own patent for a nesting shopping cart.
Do we know if he actually had been designing a nesting shopping cart, or was
he
jumping on a bandwagon?
Right.
Yes.
I don't know.
As generally happens with new inventions, they get modified and streamlined over time, thanks to multiple interventions. Here, it seems like the person we have to thank for the crucial innovation that allowed carts to nest, namely the rear swinging gate, was down to a Kansas City inventor called Orla Watson. Watson began testing his product in a couple of local stores, but his progress was hampered by problems in production. In the meantime, and as Alison just said, Goldman, who could easily have paid a visit to one of those test stores, filed a patent for his own, and some might say suspiciously similar, nesting cart. This resulted in much back and forth between the two parties, some of it quite bitter. But in the end, a compromise was reached. Watson received the patent for the telescoping shopping cart, but granted Goldman a license to produce and commercialize it.
Hi!
I know who you are by the accent in the foot.
Mark Fay is Vice President of Sales at Carts and Parts in Oklahoma City. I'd injured my foot a few days before we met, so I was wearing a conspicuous post-op boot. Carts and Parts sells new and used carts, other supermarket sundries, and also does maintenance. Mark took me to meet the company's founder and former owner.
My name is Bob Weiss. I've been in the shopping cart industry my entire life. My dad went to work for Unarco Industries when I was just a boy.
Unarco had bought out Sylvan Goldman's folding carrier company in the early 1960s.
And so I used to help my dad putting handles on shopping carts and putting the baby seat on shopping carts. And no matter what store we went to, every store manager knew us, and we were the shopping cart people. That was my life.
Did that ever lead to complaints? Because quite often shopping carts get snarled up and it's difficult to move them. Did you ever kind of like come into a supermarket and they were going, "Oi, you!"
Often to answer that question, which is exactly why we started Carts and Parts.
The Oklahoma City Carts and Parts premises are chock full with all manner of shopping cart. Many look very similar to that compromise one we heard about earlier, but then there are quite a few that are made almost entirely from plastic.
Most of the plastic shopping carts go into what is called the soft goods industry. That'll be where they sell clothing.
Right, because you don't want to rip clothing on a piece of metal.
Well, it really wasn't that, which is very true. It was because the soft goods industry was trying to come up with their own identity. They didn't want to look like a supermarket shopping cart. So if you're driving down the street and you see a red plastic shopping cart anywhere you're in the country, you're going to say, "Oh, that's a Target."
Like a Safeway cart rolling through the street. Like a sandal mark on the Savior's feet.
As I was working on this program, I was struck by how the shopping cart seems to occupy a space in the popular imagination. There we were just listening to Neil Young and Crazy Horse. On YouTube, my attention was caught by the shopping cart whisperer, who coaxes terrified shopping carts back into operation.
Now, see, the key is, you gotta talk to them in their own language. You gotta let them know that they ain't done nothing wrong.
That's good, that's good. She understands me.
On a less soothing note, I also came across the Cart Knocks channel. Led by former grocery store worker Sebastian Davis, it shows footage of people in supermarket parking lots being confronted about their poor shopping cart etiquette, i.e. they're not returning their carts to the shopping cart corrals.
Well, sir, do you need some help?
Yeah, you get the f*** away from me, you son of a bitch.
Why are you so mad all of a sudden? I blocked your attack.
Because you're a asshole.
If you want to return your cart, you don't have to be so angry. What? You seem like you'd be a good dramatic actor. You're very, emotional and engaged.
I'm not acting.
I can tell that, unfortunately.
Yikes! This led me to ask around about other people's behavior vis-a-vis shopping carts.
Oh, I always bring it back to the corral.
This is how curious managing editor Logan Layden.
That's just the human, decent thing to do. I don't know who these barbarians are that just leave them in the parking lot.
Yes.
Carts and Parts Vice President of Sales, Mark Vay.
It's one of the ways you can tell what kind of person he is or she is.
Okay, so this is all making me feel very bad, because up until a few years ago, it was kind of hit or miss as to whether I returned my cart to the rack or not. But then I had a nearly year-long stint of working in a supermarket, and sometimes I was assigned to be on cart collecting duty. And much to my surprise, I kind of enjoyed it. I was out in the fresh air. I got very strong. Those carts are frickin' heavy. But what I loved above all else was when someone left their cart at a far distant corner of the lot, because that meant I could take quite a while meandering over there to pick it up, and then quite a while to meander back. It would be the highlight of my day, and I know several of my colleagues felt the same. However, I'm not suggesting that you ever do that. I've also noticed that since leaving that employ, I always, always do return the cart to the corral. Maybe I've become a better person. In any case, let's leave the final word to Sylvan Goldman himself, as interviewed in 1977 by CBS reporter Charles Kuralt.
What would our country be like if you'd never invented the shopping cart?
Oh, I'll tell you, it'd be just like it is now, because somebody else would have.
Thanks so much to Martin Ozinger for suggesting the shopping cart as a subject for How Curious, and to all the other contributors to this episode, plus Drs. Catherine Grand-Clément and Shane Hamilton. How Curious is a KGOU public radio production. The managing editor is Logan Layden, David Gray composed our theme music, and I'm Rachel Hopkin. Please, if you have an Oklahoma-related question or idea for a future episode, we'd so love to hear from you. You can reach us at curious@kgou.org.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.